91.3 WLRN presents Topical Currents. Good afternoon. It's Joseph Cooper and Bonnie Berman with you this hour, along with author and syndicated columnist Linda Gastenheimer. She's also a Cordon Bleu chef. There's a new feature in today's food and dining segment, Ask Linda Cooking 101. We've picked topics which even seasoned cooks often wonder about. Some are questions from listeners. How can inexpensive cuts of meat best become tender and flavorful? Does one really need a complete arsenal of knives in the kitchen? And of course, often the simplest results can be the most difficult. A perfect pie crust, boiled egg, or omelet. Stay tuned for Ask Linda Cooking 101 up next. First, it's news.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Lakshmi Singh. Thousands of protesters are expected at a Republican fundraiser in New York this evening, with all three remaining GOP presidential hopefuls in attendance. NPR's Sarah McCammon reports the protests are focused on the frontrunner, Donald Trump.
The New York State Republican Gala is a $1,000-a-plate black-tie dinner hosted by the state GOP. Billionaire Donald Trump, Texas Senator Ted Cruz, and Ohio Governor John Kasich are all scheduled to speak. Protesters organizing online are planning a march outside the event in Midtown Manhattan. A Facebook post calls on activists to, quote, take a stand against racism and white supremacy and shut down Trump. Trump is hoping for a delegate sweep in New York's primary next Tuesday, but even in his home state, he remains unpopular with many members of the party's establishment, whom he's likely to see tonight. Sarah McCammon, NPR News, New York.
A bipartisan effort is underway on Capitol Hill to force technology firms to comply with court orders to grant access to blocked or encrypted data. The Republican chair of the Senate Intelligence Committee and the panel's ranking Democrat are both pushing the bill, which, as NPR's David Wellner tells us, follows Apple's legal standoff with the FBI over access to an iPhone linked to the San Bernardino terror attack.
The so-called Compliance with Court Orders Act has gone down badly with data security advocates, including Oregon Democratic Senator Ron Wyden.
Everybody ought to understand, this is requiring American companies to build a backdoor.
A backdoor, that is, to allow government access to protected data. But Senate Intelligence Committee Chairman Richard Burr, the bill's Republican co-sponsor, insists the bill has no such requirement.
It's not mandating technology companies do anything other than provide what information a legal court order asks them to do.
Burr says he hopes the draft bill will start what he calls a meaningful and inclusive debate on the role of encryption and its place within the rule of law. David Wellner, NPR News, Washington.
A judge in Belgium is ordering seven terror suspects to remain behind bars for another month at least. Each is believed to have ties to last month's deadly bombings in Brussels or the attacks in Paris last November. As Terry Schultz reports, two of the prisoners are chief suspects in the Brussels attacks.
The Brussels federal prosecutor says Mohamed Abrini and Osama Krayem will remain in detention. This is just a formality. Both men have been charged with terrorist murder related to the attacks that killed 32 people. Abrini has admitted being the so-called man in a hat, seen walking away from the Brussels airport bombing last month.
Terry Schultz reporting. The Israeli military is expected to charge a soldier with manslaughter after prosecutors say he was caught on video shooting a wounded Palestinian attacker in the head last month in the West Bank city of Hebron. The soldier appeared today in military court where his detention was continued or extended until Monday. The Dow is up 46. This is NPR News.
From the WLRN studios at the Miami Herald, I'm Christine DiMatte. Well, any plans for a Cuban consulate located in Miami Beach are dead for now. The city commission decided yesterday in a majority vote to oppose the idea of a consulate in that city until the Cuban government makes human rights reforms. Only the U.S. State Department can determine where consulates can be opened. Recognizing people who have been the victims of crime is taking the forefront this week nationwide. And for National Crime Victims' Rights Week, Florida Attorney General Pam Bondi honored law enforcement and victim advocates at the state capitol. Margie Menzel has this report.
Bondi says the nation has made progress in recognizing victims' rights, but must push to help victims who aren't likely to seek services on their own.
We know that early intervention Addressing victimization right when it occurs is critical.
The ceremony's keynote speaker had been to the Capitol before when a bill she championed became law. Kelly Green, who was raped in 1994, lobbied for the bill that would require sentences to run consecutively and not concurrently, after learning that the man who had raped her would serve no extra time for it. Today she goes skydiving on the anniversary of the day she was raped.
It's no longer a day that I dread. It's a day that I look forward to because it's the day that I soar the blue skies. Because I can, but my rapist is in prison and he can't. He doesn't know that freedom.
Green founded the advocacy group Speaking Out Against Rape, which also pushed successfully for eliminating the state's backlog of untested rape kits this year. I'm Margie Menzel in Tallahassee.
The Palm Beach County State Attorney's Office plans to hold a news conference today amid reports that presidential candidate Donald Trump's campaign manager will not be prosecuted over a videotaped altercation with a reporter. In an email, the Office of State Attorney Dave Arenberg did not specify exactly what the press conference would be all about. Police in Jupiter charged Corey Lewandowski with simple battery last month, and we will be bringing you an update from that news conference during All Things Considered this afternoon. This is WLRN Miami Herald News. I'm Christine DiMattei.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include Monster, who believes that a small business finds greater success when every candidate hired has passion, tenacity, and grit. Learn more at monster.com. Monster. Find better. And the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
We're funded by WLRN members and by Florida Power and Light. FPL's Turkey Point Nuclear Power Plant is committed to safety and reliability, powering South Florida with clean, zero-carbon energy. More information is available at turkeypointsfact.com.
You can complete your master's degree in as little as 1 year at Lynn University. Ranked among the top 25 most innovative schools by U.S. News & World Report, Lynn is grad school reimagined. Learn more at lynn.edu/graduate.
And we return. It's today's Topical Currents, Thursday edition. Joseph Cooper and Bonnie Berman. So today we present a new facet to Linda Gastenheimer's Food and Dining here on Topical Currents. We call it Ask Linda Cooking 101. Linda, of course, is a Cordon Bleu chef, author, and syndicated columnist.
And our friend. And so we've asked for questions from our dedicated Topical Currents listeners. We also have a few areas where our friend Joe and I need some help, but at least we're trying.
Bonnie, you sound a little afar. What's going on? Are you on vacation still in Rome?
You mean
the Rome-Florence
trip? Tuscan countryside, Florence or Rome?
Yes.
No, I'm not, actually. If it were a medical show, I'd give you details of where I'm actually by phone.
Yes, we can tell that.
Well, Bonnie, feel better. It's Linda.
Thank you.
Somebody cares about you.
Well, you're a real trooper to go on with the show.
Of course. The show must go on.
Of course.
Of course.
Well, Linda is ready to give tips on a wide variety of cuisines, techniques, ingredients, or whatever may come to mind. Linda, I suppose in so many years of writing dinner and minutes columns, you've gotten many ways to save time and trouble in the kitchen. It comes down that experience really does count.
Experience, but you know something, Joe. Sometimes just one simple sentence can set the whole thing up for
My
you.
Mother used to say, if you can read, you can cook.
Well, yes, but sometimes
you
need a little bit more. That's why in my recipes, I always have these helpful hints, because this one little hint will make all the difference in making something come out right.
Like you might get a direction to coddle one egg or something, and you say, well, what's that?
What does coddle mean?
Yeah. To rock it by baby or something?
But let's say hello to Fred Tasker. Fred's our favorite wine guy, and he's joining us by Skype. And you can read Fred's wine suggestions for my Dinner in Minutes columns that are in the Miami Herald And you could also read his wine column in the Saturday food section of the Miami Herald. Fred, are we doing Wine 101 or what?
Absolutely. I'm here by phone, too, but at least I'm in one piece.
I'm sort of in one piece, Fred.
All right. We're not going to go any further
just
about that.
Just a little cracked. Okay.
All right. Talk about cracked. Let's talk about eggs.
That was my first question, Linda, the perfect hard-boiled egg that peels easily.
Okay. So very, very easy and simple. First of all, I don't think people realize you need to take it out of the refrigerator for an hour or two before you put it into the water. Otherwise, it'll crack when it hits the boiling water because it's cold and hot. I mean, just
now, what about this fresh versus a few days old, at least, that the older the eggs are, the easier they are to peel after boiling?
Well, right. And people always say, well, how can you tell if it's fresh or older? How many years has it been?
Spin it around on the counter or something?
No, you put it in a bowl of water. If it sinks to the bottom, then it's fresh. If it stands up on its little end, then it's somewhat fresh. If it floats, I wouldn't eat it if I were you.
So, I mean, that's... Linda, what about this thing you heard about putting the salt in the water, and then they don't crack when they go in cold water?
You don't really need to do all of that. You need to put it... Look, this is what you do. It's very simple. Put it in the pan and make sure that they lay in one layer because you don't want them bumping into each other and cracking. Start with cold water.
Just barely covering?
Cover at least by 1 inch. Okay. But just make sure it's covered, all right? Then you slowly bring that water up to a simmer. And then you take it off the heat, cover it, and let it sit for 10 to 12 minutes, and it'll be done. And that's really a simple way. Some people say, well, you have to cook it for 10 minutes very gently, but this is such an easy way to do it. And it makes life so much easier for you, and then you don't have to worry.
Now, what about this business of having the eggs be horizontal for a while to ensure that the yolk is in the center of the egg? Is that valid?
Well, it depends. as usual, you want it exactly centered. But here's something that you should think about. Once they're cooked, sometimes you get this greenish tinge around the yolk. Near the white. So you don't want that. It doesn't look pretty. And that's the sulfur in the egg. And what you want to do as soon as it's cooked, take it out and put it in a bowl of cold water and make sure they're cold. And then you're good to go, unless you're going to eat it right away and eat them warm. Yeah. And here's an easy way. Did you ask me? One of you asked me. Bonnie asked me, how do you peel it?
Yeah, so that it peels and then you don't have to sit there, with a chisel trying to get those last little eggshells off.
Okay, so here's a tip from the Cordon Bleu School. It's kind of hard to describe on air, but I will try. You put the egg between your two hands, and you roll it around, and so that it gets cracked like a paper bag. I mean, it really gets cracked all around, and then it'll just fall off the egg.
Okay.
Okay, but don't grab it so hard.
I'm glad this is 101, Linda 101, because I've been doing it all wrong.
Well, listen, don't rub it too hard or else you break the egg in half.
It seems that one out of...
I've discovered a hack for peeling eggs. I just discovered that you can go to a big enough supermarket and you can buy them already peeled.
And cooked. So there you are. You're all
yeah,
there.
Yeah, I got some of those. They were rubbery.
So, and here's the other thing. You asked me about pasteurized eggs?
Yeah.
Okay, so pasteurized eggs. They sell pasteurized eggs in the shell, the whole egg. And I like to use those because let's say you're going to make a chocolate mousse. Let's say you make a Caesar dressing. You're going to use something where the egg isn't cooked. You don't have to worry because it's pasteurized.
Do you know anyone who's ever gotten sick from eggs? I don't.
Well, Joe, sometimes you don't know because I think a lot of people say they have the flu. I think it's a foodborne illness because there's so much going on with foodborne illnesses.
How easy is it to get sick from an egg?
How easy is it, I suppose?
Yeah, I mean, how common, I mean, like you say, sometimes people think they're sick and perhaps it is a foodborne illness, but is it actually not difficult to get sick from eggs?
Well, it, as with anything else, if some salmonella gets in there, it will make you sick. And that's why you need to cook things to a certain temperature. So if you're using pasteurized eggs, or there's pasteurized liquid eggs, but let me just tell you before I forget, is that when you're whipping up the egg whites from pasteurized eggs, it'll take longer. and they'll get a little, they won't get as firm. But I use it all the time. And you're asking about how, just make sure everything's clean. Make sure that if you have your eggs out, that you eat them right away or put them in the refrigerator. So, you know, just don't take any chances. That's my advice to you. So let's go. We just have a minute left, but you're always asking me about cooking rice.
You got the best on that.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much, Joe and Bonnie.
It saves so much time.
Instead of, you know, the normal thing is if you have a cup of rice, you need two cups of water, and you cook it that way. And the only way you can make sure that it cooks all right is to have a pan with a very tight-fitting lid. And I always find I have to add more water. So this is what I do. I cook it like pasta. This is how they do it in France. Even though it's like pasta, it's in France. you bring your pot of water to a boil. You add your rice. And as soon as it comes back to the boil, cook it about 8 to 10 minutes. Drain it, dress it, and you're done. You don't have to worry. It's fluffy rice every time. You don't have to worry about measuring or if it's right or if it's not right. It's just an easy way to do it.
How can you tell if it's done?
Well, just by take a grain and bite into it, Fred.
Oh, that never occurred to me.
You can't throw rice against the wall like pasta. Well, it's Linda Gastenheimer's Ask Linda Cooking 101 program. We're going to take a short break on our program now. We'll be back.
We're funded by WLRN members and by Willie the Bee Man. Proper bee removal requires two steps, locating the hive and extracting the honeycomb. Willie the Bee Man offers complete beehive removal. Details at getridofbees.com or 1-888-9-NO-BEES. Willie the Bee Man.
You can experience the drama and beauty of Mozart's music on Sunday, April 17th, as Orchestra Miami presents More Masonic Mozart at Miami's Scottish Rite Temple. The 36 musicians of Orchestra Miami, led by Elaine Rinaldi, perform with piano solo with Paul Posnack in this All Mozart program. A talk on the history of this fascinating building is at 3, and the concert begins at 4. Tickets and information at orchestramiami.org or 305-274-2103.
Conserve Art offers professional restoration and conservation of fine art and collectibles for museums and collectors. Custom framing and insurance claims handling are a specialty. Information is online at conserveart.net.
Tonight at 7 p.m., five young authors who've won National Book Foundation honors read and discuss their works at Miami-Dade College in downtown Miami. The Miami Book Fair brings these five under 35 finalists to the stage at the Wolfson Campus Auditorium. Authors include Colin Barrett, Angela Flournoy, Megan Cruz, Tracy O'Neill, and Azarine van der Vliet Olumi. Moderated by LitHub.com's Johnny Diamond. Information on this free evening of readings and conversation at 305-237-3940.
And this is Topical Currents on 91.3 WLRN, South Florida's NPR news station. I'm Caroline Brader-Watts. We're just taking a quick break to remind you that we are in the waning hours of our spring membership campaign. Had a great response thus far today. Let's keep the momentum going, all you Topical Currents fans. We want to hear from you. Here's a little bit of an incentive for you. You've probably heard us talking about the trip to Italy for two, courtesy of Nada's Italy Tours. That's a drawing we've had probably for about 3 or 4 weeks now. Guess what? You've reached the final day to get
when
entered
is it,
into
Caroline?
That.
When is it, tonight?
It is tonight, Bonnie. It's tonight at 7 p.m., which is less than 6 hours away to draw that name.
My.
So give us a call at 866-247-9576 or go online to WLRN.org. But Bonnie, how are you feeling today?
Oh, feeling great.
Good.
And I would love, this is the last opportunity that Topical Currents listeners have during this spring membership campaign to show their support for regional and local programming. And so we ask that you step up and show your support, make your contribution at 866-247-9576 or simply online, WLRN.org.
That's right, and we have a couple of gifts for you to consider, and of course they're courtesy of our own Linda Gastenheimer. Of course, we have that 4-pack of Linda's cookbooks. They are Simply Smoothies, Fresh and Fast Diabetes-Friendly Snacks and Complete Meals, No Fuss Diabetes Dessert, Quick and Easy Chicken, diabetes-friendly recipes everyone will love, and delicious one-pot dishes, quick healthy, diabetes-friendly recipes. You can get that four-pack of Linda's books. Linda, can you autograph those as well?
Well, it would be my pleasure.
Oh, awesome.
You know, with more than a third of our nation, either pre-diabetic or diabetic, if you don't need them for you, want them for you, you'll give them away. You have a friend, you have a relative.
Right.
They're really great. And these are four books all together. It's really a bargain.
It is a bargain. For a pledge of $12.50 a month on the Sustainer plan or a one-time pledge of $150, we will send you autographed copies of Linda Gassenheimer's four cookbooks. So a nice little treat, nice little gift for someone special in your life. Maybe someone is struggling with diabetes. This would be a very helpful item for them to have. Also, we need help in wrapping up this pledge drive just as successfully as we can. We have about $124,000 left to go. Don't panic. You're not responsible for the entire $124,000, just for whatever part you can fit into your budget. And the number to call is 866-247-9576 or go online to WLRN.org. Don't forget, less than 6 hours to go to get entered into the drawing for the trip for two to Italy. One incredibly lucky person is going to be entered to win that this evening. It could be you, but give us a call, 866-247-9576.
And we're back. I'm Linda Gassenheimer. And it's our Ask Linda program. We're doing Cooking 101, and we've been doing a lot of cooking questions that have been sent to us, and Joe and Bonnie have questions. But Joe, there's one question that you've been
asked.
This has been
going on a while. Let me tell the story. A few years ago,
I don't know if I want to hear this story.
A few years ago, I was going to make a banana cream pie, which happens to be my favorite. And I made the filling with the fresh bananas. It was like a pudding, of course. And I was ready for the pie crust. And I got about halfway through it with the little drops of cold water and the little U-shaped pastry thingamajig. And it just wasn't working right.
The thing that cut the fat into the flour.
Yeah, and I was using Crisco, I guess, or something. And well, I had to call Linda on the weekend and get her advice, and even she couldn't resuscitate that pie crust.
Well, look who I was working with.
But she was very nice about it. It wasn't like I was interrupting anything too much.
You know, you can buy frozen pie crust in grocery stores too. That's my everything.
But that's the point for it. I wanted to show that I could do this from scratch.
Right, and from scratch really tastes good. But let me tell you a few pointers, okay?
Okay, I should have used lard.
Well, first of all, everything has to be very cold.
Right,
that's important.
Okay.
And why does it have to be cold? The butter, and even the flour in this weather here in Florida, because otherwise the fat melts into the flour. If your flour starts turning a little bit yellow, that's going to make a tough crust. So if you see that happening, before you do anything else, throw everything back into the fridge. Well, don't throw it. Put it back into the fridge.
Should the flour be sifted?
It doesn't matter about that these days.
Really?
Right. But if you want to sift your flour, an easy way to do it.
I made a big mess with the sifter before.
I was going to say.
Can I ask us a question? I know what sifting is, but what is the purpose of sifting, and why don't we need to do it anymore?
Well, because a lot of flour is pre-sifted already. What I do,
lumps.
Bonnie, is if you want to have sifted flour and you don't want to have a mess like Joe, as Joe said, put it in your food processor and whirl it around a little bit.
You can see a big difference between sifted and non-sifted flour.
Right, and if your recipe calls for sifted, then you better sift it because it'll be a different weight. Now, in Europe, what I always do, you just weigh the flour. So it's not in cups, so that makes the difference. But it doesn't matter. The point is, either sift it or don't sift it. But to have a really delicious and flaky crust, what you need is a yellow fat and a white fat. So that in ideal times, you want butter and lard. But you may not want to use lard, but there are white fats that are not
lard. Isn't it true that lard is lower in cholesterol than butter?
Well, I don't want to go there. I'm not sure about that.
I've seen, I was reading a book on frying. Gee, go figure.
Gee, surprise.
So why are you worried about the lard when you're frying?
Lard was lower in cholesterol than butter.
Okay, but the point is you want a white fat and a yellow fat, even. And what you need to do is that little round thing you're talking about, you're cutting the fat into the flour. And a lot of people say you can do this in the food processor, which is fine, but don't overprocess.
And what so I just little pulses.
Little pulses, just to make it looks like little crumbled sand. pebbles, little pieces of pebble. And what you do, I do not add the water into the food processor. Many people say you can, because you have no idea, you'll toughen the dough. So I put it into a bowl, and this is where you want to make sure your water is really, really cold, ice cold water, a little bit at a time. And even if your recipe calls for a quarter cup, half cup, whatever it is of water, you don't know, because you don't know how much humidity is in your kitchen. So just a little bit at a time, stir it around until it forms a ball. Not a hard ball.
Now, is this the same kind of pie dough that you could use for the crust in a pot pie, specifically lobster pot pie?
Are you talking about Fred's lobster pot pie? Hello,
oh,
Fred.
My ears just perked up.
Fred was going to come up with that if you weren't.
That's right.
There's three kinds of dough, okay? Cooking 101. Pâte brisée, which is short crust pastry, which is what I've been talking to you about, Joe. And I just want to say, the one we're talking about, don't overknead it. Knead it a little bit. Your pastry needs to go in the refrigerator to rest. The gluten has to rest before you roll it out and cook it, okay? That's pâte brisée or short crust pastry. The one you're talking about is pâte feuilletée, which is puff pastry. And puff pastry is really, really hard to make.
And you can get that at the supermarket.
If I were you, I would buy it frozen.
Because that's layers.
Layers.
Yeah.
And it's very difficult.
Forget about it.
And I have made it in the past, but it is really hard.
And what's the third kind?
And the third kind is pâte sucrée, which is sugar pastry. And this is a wonderful pastry to make. I use it on all my sweet pies. It's almost like a cookie dough. And this pastry, you can't do anything bad to it. You can mix it and mix it and mix it. You can roll it out, take it up, roll it out, and it works. And so those are the three different kinds of pastry that you can have.
While we're on baking, if you want a cake, box versus scratch versus store-bought, is it really worth it to go with a scratch recipe rather than a box?
Well, I guess worth is the word that I'm looking at. Is it worth it? I prefer to make my own cake because I know everything that's going in it and there's no chemicals. And a cake is not that difficult to make. The problem is you have to have all the ingredients and it kind of makes a little bit of a mess in the kitchen. If you prefer, then go with a box. It's up to you. It depends on the flavor you're looking for. But I want real flavor in my cakes. So, okay. Joe, have you ever made a cake?
Yes.
From which way?
I made a cake that's similar to the tres leches.
All right. Well, there you see.
Last week.
Oh.
Very impressed. But there.
And you didn't bring any in?
It didn't last that long. It was on the weekend.
Oh, okay.
You notice that he he never has brought anything in, Bonnie.
I did. Okay.
No, he did. Okay.
Before
I always make it the easiest way I can, and if Pillsbury is willing to put it together for me in a box, I'm happy.
Okay, Fred. And that goes along with your lobster pot pie, huh?
Absolutely.
That's the one we've been waiting on for decades.
Yeah.
Well, if I ever get it made right, I'll bring it in.
Okay.
Okay, Fred, do that.
Linda, we have a few minutes. How about if you discuss knives? You go into some people's kitchen, even if they're not really ardent cooks, and it seems like there's about 15 knives around. It seems like overkill.
You don't need a lot of knives. In fact, I just helped a friend of mine in a New York City kitchen, get some equipment for the kitchen. And, you know, New York City kitchens are like about a size of a, what would you call it, a closet. So what I say is you really only need four knives, really could get away with three. But you need a 13-inch chef's knife. Those are the big knives that you want for cutting. You need a small knife. It's about a 6-inch knife, which is a paring knife. And I like to have a serrated stainless steel knife because that's the best way to cut fruit. It's just buy a cheap one.
And
it doesn't
bread.
Have to be a good one.
Don't you want serrated for bread also?
And the fourth knife that I like to have is serrated one for bread and only use it
for
bread.
Or to cut that burger in half after you put it on the bun?
Yeah, you can't see Joe. He's cutting his burger as he's talking. Yes, because if you use your regular knife, your 13-inch chef's knife to cut into bread, it'll dull it. Well, it'll dull the knife over time. So what you want to do is, it's good to have a bread knife. But that's all you really need. You don't need...
Paring knife?
Well, the paring knife is a 6-inch knife.
Oh, okay.
So that's the four knives. You know, a large knife, a smaller one, a cheapo serrated one for fruit, and I like to have a good bread knife. And that's really what you need.
You see so many knives usually.
Right.
I mean, I have lots of knives. I don't use any of them, and they're all dull.
Linda, I've noticed a lot of people, if you pull out a kitchen drawer, there's a bunch of unsheathed knives in there. You wind up at the emergency room just by opening the drawer.
Well, that's a good point, because one thing to note, what's the most dangerous thing in the kitchen? It's a dull knife. You don't realize it. But if you're using a dull knife and you're trying to cut with it, very often it'll slip. And you will be in the emergency room. So,
Linda, is it considered proper to ever use an electric knife?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Turkey?
Oh, good.
Okay, Fred, that's good to bring that up, because I have to tell
you. Yeah, she said turkey. That's a great place to
use. Right, turkey. I was just going to say that. I use an electric knife when I'm cutting the turkey. It's faster and easier, and it saves a lot of extra muscle effort for me.
And you can hold up your head among your snobby cooking friends?
My friends are lovely. They're not snobby, thank you.
Oh, well, good for you.
And you know what? If you're going to cut your own bread, like you buy loaves of bread that aren't cut, I use the electric knife for that. There are a lot of different uses for it. So I'm Linda Gassenheimer. This is Cooking 101, and we're going to take a short break, and we'll come back with some more tips.
We're funded by WLRN members and by Comcast Business. Businesses depend on the Internet and need service that they can depend on. Comcast Business Internet, Voice, and TV. Built for business.
Temple Israel of Greater Miami welcomes Joseph Epstein to kick off the Dr. Bernard and Jeanette Gordon Halpern Memorial Lecture Series on April 17th at 4 p.m. The topic of the lecture is Jewish humor and is free to the public. Information at templeisrael.net.
The Parker Playhouse welcomes Le Ballet Trocadero de Monte Carlo on Friday, April 15th. Towing the line between high art and high camp, the Trox, an all-male dance company, has been called an international phenomenon, beloved for its parodies of ballet classics like Swan Lake. But the comedy of the Trox is only outmatched by the dancers' panache and technical prowess. Le Ballet Trocadero de Monte Carlo, April 15th. Tickets available at parkerplayhouse.com and Ticketmaster.
And this is Topical Currents on 91.3 WLRN, South Florida's NPR news station, NPR for the Florida Keys, 91.5 WKWM, and 101.9 NPR for the Palm Beaches. I'm Caroline Brader-Watts. We'll be back with more of Linda's great cooking tips in just a moment. I have to give a shout out to all my friends up in Palm Beach County, because you have really come through today for us in our spring membership campaign. I just keep reeling off names of folks who live in that area who have been contributing today. Jennifer in West Palm Beach is the latest one, but thanks to everyone who's called in. Bonnie, we've had a great day thus far, but we need to keep that momentum going.
We do, and we'd really like you to show your support for Topical Currents, your last opportunity to do so. This is the penultimate day of our spring membership campaign, and we want to end it successfully. We really need your support. Give what you can. If you want to have lunch with Joe and me,
we forgot about that.
Yes, it's a great opportunity. Joe and I love meeting you, and it's for a $250 pledge. Joe, you can tell them more about it.
Well, and I'll bring in a pie that I buy up the street. That I buy up the street.
Joe's going to bring us his
Boston
cream pie.
For a $250 contribution, you and a friend can come to our studios here just a little north of downtown Miami, and you have lunch with Bonnie and me and maybe some of the other listeners. We have a good time for about an hour. Then you get a tour of our building, which includes Channel 17, WLRN-TV. Then you come up into our control room, you and a guest, and watch us put together Topical Currents. It's a lot of fun. If you have a youngster who's perhaps interested in journalism or communication, they'd really get a kick out of it.
Right, they could come on a Thursday.
The number that we haven't given out yet, if you'd like to take advantage, first of all, to show your support for WLRN, Topical Currents specifically right now, but for all your favorite shows, or have lunch with Joe and me, the number is 1-866-247-9576, 1-866-247-9576, waiting to hear from you online, WLRN.org.
And Linda just made the comment about if you choose a Thursday, perhaps there'll be a famous chef
and
perhaps
food.
Some food.
Yes, we love to have food.
I was just going to ask if Linda is Linda invited to lunch with Joe and Bonnie, right?
If it's on a Thursday.
If it's on a Thursday, absolutely. Sounds great. That's for a $250 pledge of support. Please also don't forget you have now 5.5 hours to get yourself entered into the drawing for the customized trip for two to Italy, courtesy of Nada's Italy Tours. This is going to be a magnificent vacation, really a once-in-a-lifetime vacation for some lucky person. It could be you, but you have to get involved in the process here. You have to give us a call at 866-247-9576 or go online to WLRN.org. Here's another gift you can think about, another wonderful book from our friend Linda Gassenheimer, The Flavors of the Florida Keys. Takes you on a cultural history and a culinary tour of the Florida Keys, and the unique combination of Cuban, French, British, Caribbean, and American cuisines in the Keys is captured. And in addition to history, it gives information about Keys restaurants and resorts. That is yours for a pledge of $10 a month as a sustaining member, or a one-time pledge of $120. We still have the cookbooks, the four-pack of cookbooks of Linda's cookbooks, and that is available for a pledge, a sustaining level pledge of $12.50 a month. So obviously, we got a lot of good things going on here today. If you're a fan, Bonnie, if folks are a fan of Topical Currents in particular, love to hear from them right now at 866-247-9576.
We would. You know, if you are a regular listener, if you spend your lunch with us, if you spend time in the car with us from one place to another, then we need you to show your support. We come to you just a very few times a year asking you to pay for what you listen to, because that's how we bring you Topical Currents and all the other programs. It's through listener support. Your support is what brings you the greatest source of funding for WLRN. So please give what you can, whether that's $10 a month, that's like the default option. That's what many people give, $5 a month, or become a Circle of Friends member at $100 a month. 866-247-9576, WLRN.org.
And we've heard from Kamara in West Palm Beach, Jorge in Cooper City, Robert in Fort Lauderdale. Thank you all so much for becoming members of WLRN. We're now down to $122,000 needed to raise to wrap this drive up successfully. I do promise you we are going to be ending this pledge drive tomorrow at noon. Whether or not we do that successfully is entirely in your hands. And if we can continue the momentum, continue the great phone calls and clicks on the website that we've been receiving thus far today, we will be well on our way to meeting that challenge and wrapping this up successfully. Once again, you now have less than 5.5 hours. We're counting it down here, Bonnie, to get involved in
the
drawing.
Well, it's very exciting.
It is very exciting. And Nada is very excited. Nada is someone that I've met and chatted with, and she's so thrilled to be able to donate this to one very lucky person, and can take a friend with them, of course, on this trip. But get involved. You got to give us a call. The number is 866-247-9576, 866-247-WLRN, or online, WLRN.org. We have Linda's cookbooks available. We have the Keys book available. Lunch with Joe and Bonnie is available. But come now and call in with your support.
We're back. I'm Linda Gassenheimer, and it's our Ask Linda program, Cooking 101. We've been answering lots of questions from you and from Joe and from Bonnie and even from Fred. But now it's dinner in minutes time, and we've been talking about eggs at the beginning of the program, so I thought we'd have a quick egg dish for dinner, and it's called...
Chicken eggs.
Yes.
What do you think it was, quail eggs, Joe?
Or duck, or...
Well, you could make this with any kind of egg. Okay, it's a quick frittata primavera. We're in spring now, so this is frittata primavera. And with it, we're having some roasted Parmesan broccoli. It's very easy for a midweek supper. You just need a few vegetables, and you could use the vegetables I have in the recipe or whatever you have in your fridge. And maybe you have some leftover meat. It's a good way to use leftover meat, or some sausages. And so you would sauté some onions and some garlic and some vegetables. And then I mix eggs with some fresh basil to give it extra flavor. And I put it into the skillet. Now, the secret to a frittata, that's to cook it very, very slowly over a low flame. At least 10 minutes, and it'll puff up. And some people call the frittatas a crustless quiche. So that's why you asked me about a quiche earlier, Joe Cooper.
Okay.
So what makes it puff up, Linda?
The eggs. Absolutely.
Oh, just like the egg whites make anything puff up.
But it's, but you're not whipping the egg whites. It's so easy.
Right, just, I understand.
Right.
Try putting some eggs in a container up to the top and put it in the oven. What a mess you'll have.
Oh, okay.
Okay, whatever that meant.
They expand.
It's 101, cooking 101, Linda.
Okay, so then once you wait 10 minutes, you get a nice crust on the bottom just from sitting there for 10 minutes slowly. I put it under the broiler for 1 or 2 minutes so it gets nice and brown on top. And that makes a really nice, quick and easy dinner. And for the broccoli, I just cook it in the microwave and I put it under the broiler for a few minutes. I toss it with this olive oil and I put some Parmesan cheese. It's so simple. The complete recipe is on my website at dinnerinminutes.com.
And how close to the broiler flame?
Close.
Or if you have electric, how close to the element?
6 inches. Watch it because you don't want it to burn.
Seems kind of.
And if you add milk to the eggs, does it make them puff up more?
No, it doesn't make them puff up more. It'll be a little bit more runny. You might want to cook it a little longer.
Okay.
But that'll work all right, too. And by the way, when you're talking about puffing up, I forgot to mention when Joe asked whether it's worth to have cake mix or regular or cake from scratch. Here's something to remember when you're making it from scratch, Joe, if you ever do. I'm not going to talk to Fred about this because he never does. But anyway.
Baking soda and baking powder.
No, the harder you work your eggs, the lighter your cake will be. So when it says to whip up the eggs and sugar or whatever, let that go to it's really light and
fluffy.
Well,
I've got a stand mixer now, so I could really go to town with it.
Go to town on it. Let it get real, real. Because a lot of cakes I've made in France, you never put any leavening in. You just let the eggs do the work. So that's it. Mm. But Fred Tasker, I think you're talking about Wine 101?
Absolutely. You're talking about Food 101, so I'll talk about Wine 101.
Okay.
Wine is kind of funny. You can just drink it without knowing anything about it, and it can be very pleasant. There's no expertise involved. But it's also true that the more you learn about it, the nicer it becomes. And as I always say, wine homework is a lot more fun than studying calculus.
I don't think you can study it if you've been drinking the wine.
Well, it gets, that's the difference with wine. It gets better that way. If you were studying calculus, it wouldn't. So if you're just now getting interested in wine, here are just a couple of tips. First and most important, drink what you like. Don't let the self-appointed wine police bully you into the idea that they know what you should drink better than you do. Taste in wine is one of the most subjective things I know. Still, there are some rules of thumb worth knowing. First, red wine with red meat and white wine with white meat is a cliche, but it's also mostly true. There are exceptions. If you have powerfully flavored fatty fish like salmon or tuna or shark, they can go with a light-bodied red wine like Pinot Noir or Beaujolais. And then the second, to help you study, there are lots of good basic wine books out there that are fun to read and very helpful. The trick is to choose the right one, and I like a book by, or one of the series of books by Kevin Zraley, spelled Z-R-A-L-Y. He's the author of a series of wine books, including the Windows on the World Wine Tasting Notebook, and you can just go to Amazon.com and find this for $13.99. And it's very chatty. It takes you through the basics of wine, including the most popular grapes and the wine regions of the world, and it tells you how to read a wine label, how to taste wine, and other subjects. So it's very casual, easy reading. But here's the most important tip I can give you. Be enthusiastic. Decide to really explore wine. Go out at least once a week and try a different wine from a supermarket or a restaurant. You can use the wine by the glass list if you want. And taste it, and Zraley's book will tell you what to look for. Another way to do it is to make friends with a wine shop staffer. You can tell him or her what you're doing and ask for suggestions, and they'll be glad to help.
You know, that's a really terrific tip, Fred, because lots of times I'll go into the wine store and, you know, gosh, you're just blown over. There's just so much there. Where do you start? So
yeah,
what I do is I just go, I'm making this for dinner. What can you suggest?
Absolutely, and they're likely to come up with something you've never heard of, so it's a good way to expand your palate. And finally, you really do have to take notes, not a whole lot of notes, but just record how the wine tasted, how you liked it, how well it went with what you were eating, and maybe where you had it. And if you do that once a week in just 1 year, you'll have a list of how you like 52 wines. And that's a lot more than all your friends will know.
And
so
then,
you'll be a wine expert, and you won't need people like me anymore.
Oh, we always need you,
always
Fred.
Always need you.
Always. But the other thing is, it's a good idea because you have something really wonderful that you love. You don't write it down, and you can't remember the next time you want to have it.
I know. You just get a 39-cent notebook and jot it down.
Okay. That sounds great. Thank you so much, Fred Tasker. Joe, have we got any other questions? I've got a few.
I have a question,
yeah,
Linda.
Go ahead. Right?
What is your favorite food to cook, other than chocolate?
Well, you know...
Entree.
That is really
Entree.
Difficult. Okay.
I know.
Because I like everything. And mm-hmm. and here's maybe this will help us with our cooking 101, is what I love is when I can take something home because it's so fresh and so wonderful that all you need to do is cook it simply and the best flavors come out. I had a salmon the other day that was, because wild salmon's in season now, and it was so wonderful. It was creamy. I just had to I put it in the oven for 10 minutes and I was done. A little olive oil, salt and pepper. But the flavor was so good. And it's just like when I lived in France, all you needed to do was to take those wonderful chickens that they had there and put them in the oven. The juice and sauce that came from it was delicious. So
10 minutes at what temperature?
350.
350. Most things are
400. You could do 400. 400. Middle shelf. And that's another tip for you to know that most ovens are calibrated. And by the way, you should test your oven. Make sure it is calibrated because sometimes they lose their calibration.
What do you do if you don't?
So what you do is the middle shelf, if you want 350, the middle shelf is 350. Every shelf above that is 25 degrees more. Every shelf below it is 25 degrees less. Now, if you've got a lot of things on your middle shelf and you put something else beneath it, it's going to be even less than that because the heat comes up from the bottom, hits the roof of the oven, and falls back down, and that's what happens. So you had another question. How do you know if your oven's calibrated?
Or what do you do to get it calibrated?
Well,
a service person
have yes,
to come
you
out?
May have to have a service person. Well, I'll tell you something. When I've had a
it's
new
oven.
It's a lot
to pay for an oven calibration.
Well, but it's a lot to pay when your food doesn't come out good either. And you might just call them. They may tell you how to do it. It depends how old your oven is. I had a new oven, and my thermometer, my oven thermometer was saying it was right, but my cakes weren't coming out right. I knew it wasn't right. And the man came and he said, well, it's right. I said, I baked him a cake. And I said, look, I'm going to tell you, I know what this cake should be like. He said, oh, you're right. And he put his equipment in there and he said, oh, it isn't right. So you have to really know what you're doing. And Joe's laughing at me. He wanted the cake.
So, Linda, going back to the question
yes,
of your favorite food to cook.
Yeah, she dodged that.
Well, I just love
well,
everything.
Well, I think she was getting at something, though, but she didn't get there.
No, well, my getting there was it just depends on your mood. If you're in the mood for a really wonderful steak, then that's great. Then go ahead and enjoy it. Or if you want a souffle. But of course, my favorite thing to cook is always going to be dessert. So what can I tell you?
If Martha Stewart was coming to your house for dinner, what would you make?
I'd have to think about it.
Reservations.
Thank you, Fred Tasker. Reservations. No, I have something that I love to make, and I've made it an awful lot because it's cold. I mean, it's served at room temperature. I can make it a day ahead, and that's called coronation chicken or Poulet Elizabeth. It was what was made for the Queen Elizabeth's coronation, and it's a wonderful curry sauce over poached chicken. It's just perfect every time. Make it 2 days ahead, bring it to room temperature,
what's
and serve it.
Coronation chicken.
You can find it in many cookbooks.
1953, then.
Was it 53 or 52?
53.
Okay, good. So I love to make that because I can make that, and then I make a rice salad to go with it. And Joe, you'd mentioned black rice last week.
Yes, so forbidden rice.
Black rice in my cupboard. I would take that out. I'd make that, and I'd maybe add some red peppers to it. Red bell peppers, not hot peppers, for a little color. And it would be really a wonderful, delicious dish.
Okay.
So that's real simple and easy.
All right.
So I think that
we're going to take a short break.
Out of time. We're taking a short break. I'm Linda Gassenheimer. Fred Tasker, thanks for all the great advice.
Always a pleasure.
Joan Bonney, great to be with you. Bonney, feel better.
Thank you. Thank you, Linda.
So next
and
week,
thanks for all the good advice.
You're welcome. By the way, I've got all these answers up on my website, dinnerandminutes.com, so go to the blog and you can see some of the answers to these questions. Next week, we're going to be talking with Carmen Guerrero, and she's from the University of Miami School of Architecture. We're going to be making our kitchens more eco-friendly. She's going to tell us how.
Oh.
So I'm Linda Gassenheimer. Join me then.
And we're going to take one more quick break here to remind you that we are in the final hours of our spring membership campaign. If you can pitch in with your support, just as a lot of people are doing right now, Ernestine in Coral Springs, Eva in Miami, Suzanne in North Miami, Laura in Palm Beach Gardens, Ellen in Pembroke Pines, Joe in Miami. All of those folks have either become brand new members of WLRN or have renewed existing memberships. Thank you all so much. Now it's your turn to give us a call at 866-247-9576, 866-247-WLRN, or online, WLRN.org. Of course, we've still got the four-pack of Linda Gassenheimer's cookbooks for your consideration. You will get Simply Smoothies, fresh and fast diabetes-friendly snacks and complete meals, No Fuss Diabetes Desserts, quick and easy chicken diabetes-friendly recipes everyone will love, and delicious one-pot dishes, quick, healthy, diabetes-friendly recipes. A four-pack. Yes,
and let
yes,
me tell
ma'am.
You, it'll make your life so much easier. This is the way we should all be eating anyway. And these are real, you know, dinner in minutes kind of things. And as everybody knows, I love desserts, and I want people who have diabetes to enjoy their desserts.
I'm right there with you.
The No Fuss Diabetes desserts, they're real desserts. They're big, they're not one-inch square. They're really good. But this is a way to support the station.
Right.
And I was at an event last night where so many people came up to me and said they love the station and everything. And I said, then support it.
Absolutely. Give us a call. By the way, that four-pack of cookbooks, of Linda's cookbooks, is available for a pledge of $12.50 a month. As a sustaining member, 866-247-9576, or online, WLRN.org. And Bonney, one last chance to shout out to all of your Topical Currents friends and fans out there.
Yes, we would love to hear from you right now, because it is, we've heard from so many of you. You're dedicated listeners. You show your support every pledge drive. And we're looking for, perhaps you've been listening for even a few years, maybe a few months, whatever the case. It's your last opportunity during our spring membership campaign to show that you appreciate what we bring you 4 days a week, and we need that support in order to bring it to you. Listener support is our greatest source of funding at WLRN. So please, if you listen every day, we ask you to support that with your contribution, whatever works for you, whether that's $5 a month or $10 a month or $20 a month, or get Linda's cookbooks at $12 a month. 866-247-9576, 866-247-9576. Online, it's WLRN.org. Correction, it's not Linda's cookbooks, it's the diabetes books, all published by the American Diabetes
Association.
They are
cookbooks. They are how to cook.
Oh, they are cooking.
They are cookbooks, absolutely. And also, Bonney, if people are going to go, maybe they're going to take a vacation in the Florida Keys. They'd like to have flavors of the Florida Keys.
Yes, indeed.
Because that'll give you a whole guide to the Keys, plus the recipes.
So it's not just food that you're going to learn about in that book. You also have a little bit of a history, a cultural history as well.
Yeah. And the list of restaurants and the addresses and the phone numbers and their recipes from the Keys. So and how much are we going to?
That for Flavors of the Florida Keys by Linda Gassenheimer, you can get that for a sustaining level pledge of $10 a month.
There you go.
Very easy to do. And Bonney, as you know, that $10 a month sustaining level is kind of the default option for many folks when they're deciding to become a sustainer.
That's because it's the most popular level.
Yeah.
And if that works for you, that is just $120 a year. It's a lot less than you pay probably for your cable, your internet, certainly your cell phone. And so we just ask you to give what you can, and certainly we think that it's worth just putting a little something back in. 866-247-9576. We hope you think it is as well. You can do it online. Just 2 minutes of your time, WLRN.org.
And, you know, I have to really applaud Bonnie and Joe for 17 years.
Yes,
indeed.
They've
been doing all this local, you know, what's happening here in local programming. And so many people stop me and say, oh, you know, I heard such and such. And I said, did you hear this? And it's really wonderful to have this kind of information that we can have without having to have sponsors involved with it.
Right. And it's producing four shows a week is a big job, a very big job. And they have a very small but very dedicated crew here who takes care of all of this. It's always fun to watch these shows. And if someone out there wants to come watch a show and have lunch with Joe and Bonnie, and maybe even on a Thursday, we can squeeze Linda in as well. Consider lunch with Joe and Bonnie at the $250 level of support.
Those
Joe,
are very pleasant afternoons.
Yeah, Joe, all the folks who have been involved in those just love them, just have such a great time.
And we love seeing them. We love having them here.
Yeah.
And we love learning about them, and they get to see a little bit behind the curtain as to what goes on. It's something we take for granted, but people generally, our listeners who do come, are just fascinated by watching the program happen.
Yeah.
And just to put in a little word here, first let me give the number, 866-247-9576, or online, WLRN.org. Yes, the show has been going on that number of years. I've been with it a little over 3.5 years with Joe, but it's also Richard Ives, who produces the show. It's also now an associate producer, Polly Landis, and it's Paul Leary, the online producer and usually the technical director, and that's it.
And frequently Michael Stock contributing.
Yes, and Michael Stock definitely
including
contributes.
Today.
Including today.
It's really a very, you know, this is a very small organization.
Bare bones.
Bare bones, and everyone here works so hard. And that's why, you know, giving your support to WLRN will really help to bring this information to you every day.
Right. And don't forget, you now have 5 hours. I'm going to keep counting that down. 5 hours to go for the drawing for the trip for two to Italy, courtesy of Nada's Italy Tours. You don't want to miss out on that. Surely you've heard about us talking about this for quite some time. It's coming to an end at 7 p.m. this evening. So get your name in that. Give us a call at 866-247-9576. 866-247-WLRN or WLRN.org. Thanks to Elizabeth in Boca Raton, Ernestine in Coral Springs, Eva in Miami. All of you are rock stars here for us as we wrap up this pledge campaign. Thanks to everybody, and
we
so appreciate
wonderful people to listen.
We appreciate so your support. Yep.
It's very gratifying. And again, last chance to make your contribution during Topical Currents. 866-247-WLRN. Also, it's very easy at WLRN.org. And so we wrap up today's program. Our producer is Richard Ives. Today's technical direction from Michael Stock. Lead producer is Richard Ives. And our online presence created by Paul Leary. Bonnie, once again, our phone number?
866-247-9576. Still have a couple of minutes to show your support for Topical Currents online, WLRN.org.
Bonnie, I miss you.
Ah, thank you. I'll be back soon in one piece.
We have free audio archives for listening or for download, more information and photos at the Topical Currents Facebook page. Tomorrow at 1... it's Science Friday with Ira Flatow. Monday, we return with journalist Colin Woodard, author of American Character, A History of Epic Struggle Between Individual Liberty and the Common Good. Again, lunch with Joe and Bonnie. Bonnie, you'll be there then, right?
Absolutely. I'll be back soon.
$250 contribution. You'll really enjoy yourself. 1-866-247-9576. 1-866-247-WLRN. Joseph Cooper for Bonnie Berman. Linda Gassenheimer and Fred Tasker. Stay tuned for Here and Now, next from NPR News.